let's begin by talking about Chapel Hill's legislative breakfast, which the town hosted earlier today for members of Orange County's legislative delegation in the State House and Senate. WCHL's Blake Hodge, our news director, was there at the meeting, joins us now here in the studio for more.
Hey, we had the delegation from Orange County without Greg Meyer. He was not able to be there today, but also from Durham County, Mike Woodard, the state senator from Durham, and then Marsha Morey, one of the House reps from Durham, was there, Verla Insko, and Valerie Fasci as well. Talking about what's coming up in the short session, what local bills Chapel Hill would like to be kind of focused on and pushed through if possible, and then just kind of other issues at large, talking about any type of gun legislation or things of interest kind of regionally and across the state in regard to Confederate monuments and water quality with Gen X and talking about Jordan Lake and things like that. So it was a really wide-ranging discussion. A couple of local bills that were kind of first brought up were from Chapel Hill's perspective, asking for the local delegation to be able to work on some things. And one of them we got a lot of attention last year when Guilford County lawmakers were pushing legislation that would allow the local governments there to not notice their meetings in the newspaper, which came about in a couple of different ways. First off, talking about a statewide bill and a couple of smaller communities, the newspaper said, if you take this away, we'll have to close, basically. It's a large revenue source for newspapers. Mm-hmm. But also brings about an interesting discussion about news deserts and things where you have these rural communities where a paper may not be able to stay operational if you take that away, but also in a place like Chapel Hill, which is kind of an interesting placement in the Venn diagram of this, of there are outlets here, but there's not a local newspaper at this point.
Right.
And that was what Chapel Hill was asking for now, to be on that list of those that have the option to not notice these meetings.
So do you have to be placed on a list? Is like these particular municipalities?
Well, right now it's the law that you have to notice them in the local newspaper. You have to be exempted from that, barring any statewide law that is passed, which hasn't been done so far. So Chapel Hill is now asking for that exemption as well, talking about the movement and kind of consolidation of Chapel Hill News into the Durham Herald Sun office, and how many of those papers are actually circulated in Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. So Ralph Carpenos, the attorney for Chapel Hill, was talking to the legislative delegation about, we don't know how much of an impact that's actually having to notice these in the Durham Herald Sun, hoping that Chapel Hill subscribers are making up enough of that paper's circulation to warrant the amount
and even seeing the notice in the paper in the first
exactly
place.
So they didn't have the exact figures on how much it would save the town of Chapel Hill by not having to do it, but it's weird because in some of these places in rural North Carolina, if you take that away, it has kind of a twofold effect of it is coming out of the paper, so it's not being publicly available that way. It's also dipping into the revenue stream of the paper, and the municipalities don't really have the online presence or output to be able to say this is happening. Chapel Hill isn't really in that sense, in that mold was kind of the argument today. It was the town has a robust online presence and is able to push these types of things. So we'll see how that goes moving forward. Another bill that the town is asking for some movement on would be to expend the investment options for funds, trying to basically take care of town employees' continuing contributions and benefits after they retire. So a couple of things that didn't seem like they would have too much issue trying to move forward on. One thing at the state level that would have to be amended if Chapel Hill wanted to do something it would like to do is focused on the gun issue overall. And rather than being gun legislation to pass restrictions or anything like that, it would basically allow residents who want to come to the town of Chapel Hill and turn over their firearms to allow them to be destroyed. Right now, that's not the case. The town has to, if a serial number has been scratched off of it or something like that, then it can be destroyed. But otherwise, if it's a registered functioning firearm, it then has to be either used or sold by the town back into circulation per state law. So they want to add a fourth option. Yeah, so that's one of the reasons why people have been coming to the town and saying, we would like to turn in guns, or we would like a
gun. So the response in that case would be, great, here's a coin, scratch off the serial number and then give it to us, right? We make a big deal out of that. Like, people could bring their guns and scratch off the serial
numbers.
I'm
pretty sure that's illegal.
Yeah.
So that may not work. But anyway, they're trying to get
a fourth.
Yeah, you know, you can do what you want on your own time, I guess, but I don't believe that's the sanctioned action by the town. But they're working on trying to get a fourth option. At the owner's request, as they're turning it in, they say, I would like you to take this gun and destroy it, then the town would have that option at that point if the state law is amended to allow that. So that's an interesting thing as well that we could see as a development.
That's just such a staggering facet of this whole gun debate that this isn't already allowed as an option, and B, that presumably that would be a controversial thing to get through the General Assembly, because Republicans right now, the gun debate in general is so inflamed that Republicans are now, I would imagine a significant percentage of them would be more concerned with protecting the firearm than the rights of the property owner who just want it safely disposed of. Berlinska's, it would be a real interesting debate to have.
Berlinska's perspective on that was that it was an individual liberty to be able to say,
I would like it to be
destroyed, and that's what I want to have carried out with it. So we'll see how that goes. Chris Blue, chief of police in Chapel Hill, and that other title that he now has, director of community safety, something along those lines.
Yeah.
Police chief. Chris Blue said that there had been 32 firearms stolen in Chapel Hill over the last year.
Yeah.
And that his thought was that some of those would have been turned in, and people hold on to them and they're in their sock drawer or under their bed or whatever, because they don't have the option at this point to turn them in and then know that they're being destroyed at that point.
Yeah.
So, interesting conversation on that will require a little more work from the legislative body to see if that gets amended, but also something that we'll be tracking. Confederate monuments was another thing that just briefly got touched on, and this is the long-running debate about Silent Sam and the 2015 law stopping the removal, preventing the removal of objects of remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing beyond Silent Sam that gets a lot of attention locally is the Jefferson Memorial marker, the Jefferson Davis Highway Memorial marker Franklin Street. Pam Heminger, mayor.
That Jefferson.
That
okay,
Jefferson.
Good. Yes.
Sorry, Jefferson
makes much
Davis.
More sense then. Makes slightly more sense that way.
There is a marker on Franklin Street, proclaiming it or whatever, as part of the Jefferson Davis Memorial Highway. And that marker, since it's on Franklin Street, is technically a DOT issue. So the town would have to come forward with a specific request to the DOT to move it, and it may fall under still that same 2015 Objects of Remembrance law. So while there's a lot of request, and Mayor Heminger said a lot of desire from town elected officials to move it, it does not appear to be a kind of a cut and dry thing where people were thinking it may be, in contrast to Silent Sam, if this is on town owned property, something could be done, but it is not the case since it's a DOT maintained road.
Yeah. All right. Speaking with Blake Hodge, WCHL news director. So other like discussion of the likelihood of those bills getting through, and some of them seem to be sort of non-controversial from a bipartisan perspective.
It didn't seem like there would be a lot of pushback on a couple of the things of local interest. The anything gun related is going to be a flashpoint, really at any point, but especially right now as it's been in the public eye with such consistency here. I would be shocked if there's any type of movement from Confederate Monument standpoint in terms of the overall law. There's continued focus on Silent Sam from a public safety standpoint, so there could be that bill moving forward at some point. that was initially kind of talked about by Verla Insko about moving it inside or somewhere else for, in a public safety kind of light. So we'll see what happens with that, if anything. Verla Insko did have an interesting comment today, and Valerie Fasci about this as well, as the best class of recruited candidates that she remembers seeing from her time in the House, which obviously spans quite a few years there, with Verla Insko being able to say that the class that they have, I say they, the Democrats have recruited for 2018 across the state in the House and Senate seem to be very impressive to the current representatives of our community here. And she went beyond saying, feeling confident they would break the supermajority, and said that they had eyes on the majority in the House, at least. So we'll see how that goes, and if that happens, if it would spur any more redistricting conversation, as we're also awaiting word from the Supreme Court about partisan gerrymandering.
Yeah, and even if it's just the supermajority that gets broken, then that really ramps up Governor Cooper's veto power, and he could wield that in a way that...
It changes the political landscape
really significantly. Yeah.
Just to be able to, and for everybody. I mean, at this point, you know, it's kind of the same thing with the health care law, talking about it whenever it was under the administration of President Obama, and you had a very similar makeup in the Senate. They would pass whatever they wanted, repealing Obamacare in the Senate, because they knew it was going to be vetoed, and then that would be the end of it. And I'm curious how generally that conversation may change things, because it's also not that this has been the case in the past or there's anything specific that I'm thinking of, but it's a little easier to just say, I'm vetoing something, when you know that that's the strong move for your base, but also it's going to get overridden in by the supermajority. So just overall, the dynamics would change a lot if the supermajority is broken entirely. It gives a lot more power to Cooper. Maybe it brings everybody together a little more in finding some common ground, and we'll see how that may play out after the November election. But it sounded like House representatives at least have a little bit of optimism toward maybe just getting to the majority, which would be a massive swing.
Blake Hodge, thank you so much.